I'm living a movie, not living by rules. It's just a movie, don't lose your cool. Hey, welcome to another episode of Spoiled Movie Reviews on the Blackout Test Podcast Network here. Today, I have a good movie that I want to review. It's called American Hustle. And everybody knows that Spoiled Movie Reviews is for people who either already seen the movie, don't ever plan on seeing the movie, or just don't give a fuck about spoilers because we do spoil everything. And Christian Bale and Amy Adams definitely have one more trick up their sleeve, and they definitely, end up conning their way out of this deal. No problem. It's so easy. I have a guest on the show. Can't do these by myself. It's my man JL Covan from the Righteous Prick Podcast. JLCovan.com. Also on Twitter, JL Covan. What's going on, JL?
Nothing much. Happy to be here.
I'm glad you can make it, man. Of course, here at the Blackout Tips for Movie Reviews, we have a very easy movie review scale. It's called the More Epic Than Love Jones scale, where everything's from 0 to 5. And we grade it on that, and we do a very simple review. We talk about what worked for the movie, what didn't work for the movie, and then we give it a final score so that you guys can just, you know, get on with your lives. I know you guys got plenty of shit to do. You don't need movie reviews as long as the movie was. So let's talk about this movie, American Hustle. It's the story of a con man, Irving Rosenfeld, along with his seductive British partner, Sidney Prosser, and he is forced to work for a wild FBI agent, Richie DeMaso. DeMaso pushes them into a world of Jersey power brokers and mafia in a quest for, like, to be, like, the biggest, baddest FBI motherfucker in the world, apparently. Let's get right into what worked for this movie. JL, what worked for this movie for you?
Okay, what worked was... I liked the acting. The acting I thought was all ranging from very good to solid. Mm-hmm. Christian Bale. I mean, I think everything about this movie, and I'll get to this later, but I think everything about it has been overhyped, including Christian Bale's performance, mm-hmm. which I thought was really good, though. But I can easily see him not getting a nomination with how many good movies there are this year, mm-hmm. and I'd have no problem with that. But the acting was good. It was a solid overall movie. Like, I didn't think, there's really nothing I would complain about too much, and there's nothing I would say was super great, but I thought it was just a very solid movie. So, like, throughout, I was going, okay, that's a good joke. The performances are pretty good. I liked it when De Niro showed up. That kind of surprised me.
Yes.
So I'd say overall, solid. So there's nothing, like I think the movie works. I just don't think it works the way a lot of the critics are kind of claiming.
Yeah, I enjoyed a lot of the movie too. Like, I don't think it was terrible or anything, but as far as things that worked for me, I actually thought Christian Bale did a great job because at some point he must have learned to take the lisp off of his S's, and I don't know when that happened. Well, he did a good job with his S's. I'm always watching that. Like, I'm kind of obsessed about his S's since someone brought up the fact that, he always lisps his S's when he does an American accent. But he did a really good job with his S's, man. I was really proud of that dude. I kept waiting for him to slip the whole movie. He wasn't lisping. So I was like, he really took this serious. The hair comb over stuff, that was cool.
I did actually, just thinking of a specific scene. I thought that comb over that he does in the basically in the opening of the movie was very funny.
Yeah.
And then, like, once Bradley Cooper, like, fucks up his hair later in the movie, it's very funny knowing how much effort he puts into this shitty comb over.
Yes.
And Bradley Cooper's just, like, messes his hair up, and it's just, they, like, things like that. Like, there were a lot of decent, like, humor moments in the movie.
Yeah, for sure, man. The humor in the movie worked for me a lot, actually. I know, it's probably because I didn't know he was in the movie, but Louis C.K. and his like his role of, you know, I guess being Louis C.K., guy who, you know, life shits on.
Right.
It kind of worked for me in this movie because he just shows up and it gets so out of control with his character where Bradley Cooper's really literally beating his ass.
Right.
And I'm like, that's a thing that would happen to Louis C.K. Like, I'll accept that as a thing. So, I actually did enjoy, the comedy with him in it. I thought that, Jeremy Renner, who's typically a nondescript, just white guy to me. Mm-hmm. I thought he actually did a good job, man. Like, he acted for the first time in a long time that I've seen him, like, tried to do an accent and take on another character. I don't know how, I don't think I identify with the character as much as I was supposed to. I think I was really supposed to feel bad for that guy, but, I really didn't feel that bad for him.
Right.
Jennifer Lawrence, she also did a good job because I hated the shit out of her. And I think you're supposed to, hate the shit out of her.
Her character in the movie.
Yeah, in the movie. Right. I absolutely hated Rosalind Rosenfeld, like, with every fiber of my, like, just, and that woman was just a woman in a really bad situation.
Right.
But still, it was just one of those moments. She's like, bitch, shut the fuck up. Like, the whole movie. It's just like, you're gonna ruin everything. And eventually when she does, kind of let the beans spill that,
right.
It's a big ass conspiracy. You just feel like she is that danger that, you know, like she's so reckless and dangerous that this could happen at any point. So, she did a pretty good job. What else? The way they kept raising the stakes, just every time it seemed like a good time to get out, Bradley Cooper's character, Richie DeMazzo, would
right.
just raise it to like, and now we're going to get the president. That did give me like this sense of impending, like, and okay, the House of Cards is got to come crumbling down and it keeps getting bigger and bigger. So the, you know, the final fallout is going to be, you know, tremendous because this guy won't, you know, ever stop. And Bradley Cooper's little freak out, kind of worked for me too, when he was going all crazy and shit. I did expect her to, like, when she hit him upside the head, I said, good, he needs to calm his ass down.
Right.
That's about it though, man, as far as things that worked. The cinematography, as far as like, you know, like the filter they shot this shit in, it felt like I was in the 70s. At least the way movies portray the 70s.
Right.
Like, it didn't feel like they were being authentic. It felt like an Instagram filter
right.
over the whole movie.
Can we brown this up like it's a Breaking Bad episode in Mexico?
Yeah. Yes, exactly, man. Shout out to the hair roller budget of this film, too, because they really had to spend a lot of money on just hair accessories and rollers. Let's talk about what didn't work because, I feel like, the movie wasn't, flawless and especially in light of some of the, like, stiff competition in 2013, man.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It really kind of, fell short for me in the end. So let's talk about what didn't work for you in this movie, JL.
Cool. Well, I'm going to start with Jennifer Lawrence, who I'm a big fan of.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, especially when you look at, if I can make the first of many Wolf of Wall Street comparisons.
Of course.
The super hot chick that plays DiCaprio's, like, Brooklyn wife, mm-hmm. like his second wife in Wolf of Wall Street. Now, that's a very attractive woman. She's from Australia, but she sounds like a low-rent Brooklyn chick.
Yes.
And I believe it. Like, she feels like that hot but kind of low-class, trashy chick. And I believe it. Whereas Jennifer Lawrence, I was like, here is a talented, sexy young woman playing a trashy Queens chick below how she... Like, she can't play her. Like, I always felt it was like a nice actress playing the part of kind of like a sexy but low-rent chick.
Mm. Yeah,
I never, fully believed her in that part. Like, I feel like she had the funny dialogue, like she looks good, but I never kind of felt there was enough. I don't know if the right word's griminess, but like I never felt like she was just dirty enough as a person for me to believe it.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think she plays the role kind of over the top anyway, and it does. And then the way that it's written, unlike the Wolf of Wall Street, they don't really have anything for her to do. It's almost like if instead of Wolf of Wall Street showing you how they met and everything they went through and then kind of going through the downfall of that relationship, they just kind of show up halfway through and are just like, these motherfuckers don't even get along. And you never have a chance to like her in the role. So you really, you know, I can understand not even truly being able to hate her in the role, you know?
Sure. The other stuff, what didn't work, what, like, it's one of these movies where I don't think there wasn't a lot that didn't work for me. It's just the way that they, like when you said the stiff competition this year, like I didn't have it in my top 10 movies of the year. I didn't have it really in my top 15. That's not to say it's a bad movie though, because there really were a ton of really, really good movies this year. But it's the idea of watching this and feeling, and a lot of critics said this in their reviews and watching it, it was really kind of almost painfully obvious. It was like a Scorsese cover band. Like they love Scorsese, like who, you know, the David O. Russell must love Scorsese. Like it's just, it's obvious that this is like, I want to make a Casino. And I would say more so than Goodfellas, this is like his Casino, you know, the multiple voiceovers and narratives, the kind of epic scale and the money and the risks and the it felt like he was like, I'm gonna make my Casino, and instead it's just like, this is somebody covering, you know, they took the lyrics of Casino but gave it like their own kind of 70s funk beat.
Yeah.
And so watching it, I was like, this is a good movie, but anybody who tells me like, and I mean, it won like National Board of Review Best Picture. I think this is less the fault of the movie, but the hype around the movie is my biggest problem, because I would say the movie is a B plus, and it's being treated like an A.
Yeah, and it got David O. Russell also did Silver Linings Playbook.
Same thing.
So I think it's kind of like also a residual like leftover from that too, where it's like, you know, the hot new year, like, even though he has been around for a while, I mean, he made Three Kings and everything. Like, I feel like, it was kind of like that momentum of, oh, what is this guy gonna do next? Oh, look at all these names. This one's gonna be good too. You know, this has gotta be great. It can't just be good. It has to be the best movie this year, or else it's not, you know, it's not good. A thing that didn't work for me, speaking of Renner, I thought Jeremy Renner just he compared to the other people who can act in this movie, I felt like he just was like just not, he was wasting time on the scene, kind of like it just a lot of times on the screen it just felt like he was playing ping pong with like a professional and he was just a guy from the Boys and Girls Club.
Right. Well, I didn't think they gave him, I think that character, I was expecting it was a weird character, because if you think about it, everybody else had moral ambiguities. Mm-hmm. You know, Christian Slater is kind of the thief with a decent heart, and Bradley Cooper is like the agent who's too power hungry. So he's doing good, but he's like got bad motivations for doing good. Mm-hmm. Whereas Jeremy Renner, who's like the target, is like actually motivated by good the whole movie. Like there's very little nuance in the character itself, so and then at the end it's kind of like Christian Bale feels bad for fucking him over, but it's like, but you didn't develop that relationship enough for me to feel Christian Bale's character's pain, if you will. Like you feel kind of bad, but you're like, yeah, this dude like may have been taking some money, but like he really was all about his constituents. Like there was never a moment where you're like, ah, he's got a little bit of a piece of shit vibe.
Yeah, and a lot of that character, when they're trying to build him up as this good guy, it takes place in these weird montages. And like the one that stuck out the worst to me is in the beginning when they first introduced the character of Carmine Polito. And they show his house of adopted, like, kids and all this shit.
Yeah.
and he's like hugging all of them and dancing and all, and it's like everyone love Carmine. It's like, I don't believe that's what that dude did every morning. Like, that just seems so over the top. Just as a quick look, guys, it's Jeremy Renner having fun. Remember this, he's a good person,
right?
So I didn't feel like that was necessarily earned. Although, you know, the scene between him and Belle where he gets him to come back in and take the money, that part was really, really good. But that was probably the best acting and the best scene that Jeremy Renner had for the rest of the movie.
Sure.
Another thing that was weird, or that I didn't really enjoy, I forgot to say something that worked. Amy Adams' underboob, tremendous during this movie. A lot of underboobage.
I always respect a movie that can make me want an actress that I would rate as like a second tier hotness, mm-hmm. but make me feel like she's first tier.
Yes.
Like that, there was like, that's partly acting, partly wardrobe, partly the camera. Mm-hmm. But like, I felt the same way about Kate Winslet in Titanic. I remember seeing that movie and I was just like, I mean, I was 18 and full of hormones, unlike the sad donut eating fool I am now. But I remember just watching that movie and being like, after 3 hours in the theater of like the camera and DiCaprio worshiping her, mm-hmm. I left that theater like, yes, I love Rose.
Yeah.
And this movie kind of does that for you. Like, she's a very nice looking woman, but they really like, you know, Bradley Cooper and Christian Bale are just all into her, and she's dressing provocatively, and she's just giving off a great vibe.
Well,
throughout
it's that,
the movie.
It's like that Princess Leia thing, you know,
right.
Where I like, not the hottest chick for that 2 hours and 9 minutes, not hottest
yeah.
chick. But yeah, her underboobs were killing it, and her accent was tremendous. I forgot to. Like, I did enjoy that layer of the character and all this stuff. Unfortunately, nothing else in the movie is as interesting as her character, which is kind of sad. Another thing that was just weird to me, man, was like the way that the inner workings of the FBI works in this movie, where you just like fuck your boss, go over his head. They don't really check anything, and just like there's no oversight, and then Bradley Cooper just kind of is supposed to show up with all these criminals that he you know, it was able to basically entrap into shit. Like, it was just this weird like, really, this is how the FBI handles shit. The logic seemed really off. Jack Houston's character, the guy from Boardwalk Empire, for people that watch that, much more handsome with half a face. I don't know why that is, but half a face Jack Houston is just a better all around looking guy than full face Jack Houston. Michael Pena, wasted character in this movie.
Wasted character, but I did very much enjoyed the tension in that scene with De Niro.
Yes, agreed. Yeah, the tension in that scene is dope. If Christian Bale's character would have got his way, because after a while his character just becomes a guy who says no to everything.
Right.
If he would have gotten his way, what would have happened in that scene? Like, did Al from Queens know how to speak Arabic or not? I was wondering that.
Right.
Like, would they have still been fucked? Because he just has this look on his face like, oh, fuck me. The entire scene. A big thing that didn't work for me, and maybe this is because I just don't know this music as well as other people. Them singing to the actual fucking soundtrack of the music was annoying the shit out of me. And it happens more than once in this movie where they play like some 70s or 80s like song, and then they show the characters literally singing the words during the montage. And I'm guessing in real life they're supposed to be listening to the song at the exact same time that they're playing it and as the soundtrack to the scene, but it just felt, I don't know, it felt like a musical or some shit, like they were forcing it a little
right.
too much. So I wasn't really a fan of that shit. All right, man. Did it feel like they didn't do enough with the like time period for it to kind of be a period piece?
Yeah, I didn't really. I mean, they throw in like there were just enough funny things, like them dancing at a disco and like Bradley Cooper with the curlers in his hair.
Right.
I feel like that's where they kind of took care of the time. But it was just it. I just feel like it wanted to be a great film, and it was really trying to be a great film. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much in it but at the same time, it was almost, like you said, to be an epic sort of period piece, they'd need to have a lot more. And instead, it's, I don't know. It was just, the more, and see, you always do this to me. When I talk out a movie, I start to go, you know what? Fuck this movie.
Well,
even though I don't really feel that way.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I still think it's like, you know, it's worthwhile. And it's like I said, about 6.5, but, there is part of me that it's almost like so close to being good that it makes you more angry than if it was, you know, shitty. Where it's just
right.
Like, you guys could have made a better movie than this.
Right. Don't be J.R. Smith. Don't have all that athleticism and talent and then just untie people's shoelaces and shoot 30% from the field.
Yeah. The other thing, too, it kind of feels like they didn't have the material to be the movie that they wanted it to be. Like, they needed to have higher highs, and maybe this is just because the story just did not happen this way. You know, maybe in real life, it never got big enough for them to really show them ever truly, quote-unquote, balling.
Right.
But this movie could have benefited from, like, a 10-minute montage of just straight baller shit. To just show, like, these motherfuckers were, you know, gaffling everybody. Even if it was just them doing shit with the FBI's money to convince everybody that they were legit, you know,
right.
It still would have been way more, I feel like it just needed that point where your mind kind of shuts off and rides with the action. And, I think Wolf of Wall Street really had that a lot, where you have a lot of moments where you're just like, this motherfucker got a helicopter on a yacht, and you just kind of forget, like, and everyone is trying to arrest him. And this movie doesn't do that, which, you know, obviously that's good that it's not trying to be another movie, but it also just kind of makes the story seem kind of mundane. Like, it just doesn't seem like this very far-fetched story. In the very last hustle that they pull, where they trick Bradley Cooper, it just felt so thrown in. Like, there's just no setup for that at all. There's, like, a good setup makes me, after you fool me, I'm supposed to be able to go back and go,
yes, oh. You go back and watch it and go, oh, here was the clue, here was the clue. But here it was more like I felt like they just wrote that in.
Yes.
Like, if you rewatch this movie, like, any movie with a twist at the end, the fun is watching it again and going, there, okay, now there, yes, the clues are all here. I think if you watch this, the clues, most of the clues won't be there.
Right.
They're just telling you about them.
Yes. That was the thing that killed me because, like, it really dropped about 2 points when Christian Bale does the voiceover at the end and he's like, yeah, because remember that party we went to? Well, this guy was there. I was like, man, fuck you. Like, there's just no one could have known that. Like, you just give me something where I'm just like, oh, doesn't he always twitch his leg when something is up, you know, like just some shit that I can just go, oh, that's right. That's why this is a fucking setup. Instead, I'm just watching it going, wait a minute. This is the end? What? How did? Oh, okay. All right. Oh, and Bradley Cooper, this is going to be controversial. Tries too hard. He tries too hard in these movies where he's trying to be serious. I like him better in these comedies and shit like that. Even rom-coms, I like him better.
But now you get that Oscar nomination and now that dude is a thespian.
Yeah, he was trying way too hard. Like, the scene at the end where they got him and he goes outside and, like, almost has a nervous breakdown or something. I was just like, okay, Bradley, we get it. You're trying to act. You know, it's cute. So, yeah, I just thought that was kind of ridiculous, man.
But he knows that Matthew McConaughey now has given him – Matthew McConaughey has now taken the title, basically – of real handsome dude who's doing tons of serious work.
Yeah.
So Cooper's just like, I don't want to be like the, you know, I don't want to be the dude they call when McConaughey can't take a role.
Yes.
But I think, yeah, the biggest problem for me with this movie, and I didn't even see them in the order you saw them. I saw American Hustle before Wolf of Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, in comparison, I don't know how anybody could hype this movie up in the same. It's like this movie, the comparison I was thinking of is like, if you want to call this movie Clyde Drexler, that's fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, a quality player, you know, granted a Hall of Famer, but you know what I mean? But was never going to get any awards or any respect as long as Michael Jordan was also a two guard in the NBA.
Right.
And to me, Wolf of Wall Street is just like more epic, more intense, even though it's longer, felt in a way tighter. It's just, you know what I mean? Like, so as long as Wolf of Wall Street is there, I don't feel like American Hustle should win any awards.
Yeah. American Hustle can't go to his left. And a lot of times when it does get around the basket, if you can force it to try to finish with his left hand, it comes up short. So, but yeah, let's go ahead and rate this bad boy on a scale of 0 to 5 on the More Epic Than Love Jones scale, with 0 being man, fuck you, and 5 being the fuck you waiting for, go see this shit. What would you give American Hustle, JL?
And I should know this by now, but can you tell me what a 3 and what a 4 are?
A 3 is $5 AMC Before Noon Special Matinee. And 5 is full price opening weekend. I mean, 4 is a full price opening weekend.
Okay, then I'm going to say a 3. Because I know it's got all the hype and all the glory of a movie that you think, oh, I got to see this opening weekend. This is a must-see. But that's just critics telling you it's a must-see. When you see it, you'll be like, oh, I want to see this in the theater and give it that attention. But, yeah, I would even say, like, I'd say give it a, if I can make a JL rating, a 3 stars with an $8 New York City matinee.
There you go.
See, so that's, it's a little elevated from the national standard, but still a matinee.
Yeah, I would give this also a 3. I think I saw this movie at 4 p.m. in Charlotte, North Carolina, where my ticket was $10 and some change, and I felt ripped off. I wish I had paid 5. I would have felt like, oh, shit, I kind of got a good movie. For $5, can't believe, what a steal.
See, I saw it for an $8 Before Noon in New York City AMC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
sounds like we're right at the right spot.
Because I didn't feel, I was plenty entertained and pleased with seeing the movie. It's only the critics hyping it that kind of made me go, eh. But I, like, $8 for me was perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, I walked out of Wolf of Wall Street, like, charge me $15. You fucking did it, Hollywood. And I walked out of this like 10, really. Fair trade, I guess.
But, I don't know if you've said anything, but what is your, have you named your favorite movie of the year?
I have not named my favorite movie of the year.
You still want to see some?
No. I mean, I think if I think about it, it'll be way off the beaten path, and I doubt we'll agree, but, my favorite movie of the year this year has been Olympus Has Fallen. That was just a fun ride, man.
What?
Yep, very, very low expectations. Oh, you don't know, my favorite genre of movie is the Impossible White Man movie.
Okay.
So, Die Hard, that type of shit.
Well, Die Hard's the Citizen Kane and the Godfather combined into one of the impossible white man genre.
Exactly. And this movie really knocked that genre out the park. A dude basically on his day off saves the fucking president at the White House, full of terrorism, and doesn't even work there. That just the amount of arrogance of a white man that it would take to even be like, I have to go save the president, I'll be right back. Tremendous movie, man. So,
and sorry, I don't want to keep this going longer than you want, but now did you see, because I didn't see either of the White House movies this year, but did you see White House Down?
Yes, I did, and that's more of a buddy cop movie involving the president, which, you know, while decent, not even the best buddy cop movie of 2013. I personally think it pales in comparison to Olympus Has Fallen, by a lot. Best buddy cop movie of 2013 was Two Guns, though, with Mark Wahlberg and Denzel Washington. I did not see that coming. Thought that movie was going to be way more serious than it was.
And, but were there any good buddy cop movies? Like, were there any really good? Cause I saw Two Guns and was just kind of like, I would just like to see, this is why I liked Captain Phillips so much this year, because Tom Hanks who is at the level and the age where he can now go Denzel, Pacino, De Niro, where he just starts going, just give me some Tom Hanks movies,
right,
and get out of the way, and I'll just do Tom Hanks, and you'll make $70 million, and we'll call it a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, like, Captain Phillips, I thought, was him saying, no, no, I'm going to do like a Tim Duncan, where you think I'm starting to fade into that, and then all of a sudden I go for 30 and 15 in a finals game.
Okay, yeah. The Heat was the other good buddy cop movie this year with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy. But it was more like a twist on buddy cop, because it's like, look, it's chicks doing buddy cop.
Sorry.
No problem, man. And Bill Burr was in it, so that was also a very, very good, a very clutch cameo by Bill Burr and his Bostonian family. I think that the best movie this year, though, for me, is gonna be Wolf of Wall Street. It's not my my favorite movie is still gonna be Olympus Has Fallen, but I didn't see Captain Phillips, so I don't, you know, I keep hearing great things, and I do need to watch it at some point, but
I was glad you saw Rush, because that one meant a lot to me this year. I just, because it didn't make a lot of money, and I saw it on a Saturday night by myself, just kind of, I said, oh, I want to see this because it's not making a lot of money, but I heard good things. But Wolf of Wall Street was my number two of the year.
Yeah, and you know, Rush was just clutch, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That was just a very well-executed movie. It wasn't even like a matter of... you know, I don't feel like it was transcendent in any in any way necessarily, but there's just something about a movie that is so well executed. It's like watching the old school Utah Jazz play, where you just like,
yeah. Well, you know, that's my team, right?
yeah. You're just like, you know what? That is how you run a pick and roll, and there's a thing of beauty when it's running right.
I just want to tell you one other movie. Mm-hmm. I want to get on the record, because this might even be more controversial than my stance on The Counselor.
Okay.
I want you to see Grudge Match. Now, don't spend, you know, go see a $5 matinee.
All right.
But that is one of those movies where I watched it, and it was like the reverse of American Hustle for me. I was like, everybody took a giant shit on this movie, I think out of principle.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think half the critics saw the movie. I think they were just like, oh, fuck it. Give it a D minus.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is, and it was just, it's one of those movies that I would call perfect for a Saturday after it's raining outside and you're flipping around TBS and TNT and Grudge Match is starting, and you go, all right, let's see what this is about.
Yeah.
And you completely enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I do want to kind of check that out, man. You're not the first person that's recommended that to me. Another friend of mine who's a critic recommended me that movie. So, yeah.
It was just pleasant. It was one, and it's like the anti-American Hustle. It's like, go in with low expectations, but you will, the acting is fine. The writing is good, like good. There's enough decent jokes, not hacky jokes, but enough like solid jokes where you go, that was nice.
And quietly, De Niro has become he's made such better role decisions than Pacino. Like,
yes.
It's quiet because no one's talking about it, but like consistently over the past like 10 years.
Well, they flipped though, because there was a point where, like, I remember after Heat, they both started kind of tanking.
Yeah.
But I thought Pacino, I thought Pacino was trying more than De Niro. Like, he did Any Given Sunday, which I didn't think was great, but it was definitely effort.
Yeah.
Like, it was definitely an effort. Like, Oliver Stone, a big budget, gritty look at football, him playing the coach. But he was nominated for The Insider, which is one of my favorite movies, and that was 99.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great movie with Michael Mann directing. So, like, I thought for a while Pacino was still trying.
Yeah.
And whereas
yeah.
De Niro, and then they did Righteous Kill together. And
that was the worst.
They should have that movie burned the way like an actor would have a porn burned that they did early in their career. But this never happened.
Righteous Kill starring Curtis Jackson, a.k.a. 50 Cent, which no one talks about in any trailer or promo for this movie until you see the movie and you go, why the fuck does 50 Cent have a major part in this movie?
Oh my, that movie, I did not understand how you could have De Niro and Pacino and how it couldn't be at least okay.
Yes. Yeah, very disappointing. I went to see that in the theater.
But I feel like De Niro's back to making a little bit of an effort now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And De Niro's picking some kind of understated roles, man. And I mean, he was in Silver Linings Playbook last year. Yep. And I actually still need to check out The Family, though. I wonder if
no, you don't. No, you do not.
It was shitty.
I really was dis- because I went to see that on the road. And my standards when I'm like doing road gigs is just like I need something to pass the time. I'll just pick anything.
Yeah.
So the standards were just like, hey, it's De Niro. And it was either a bad drama or an unfunny comedy. And I don't know which one it was.
Oh, see, the trailer made me think it was going to be a good mafia spoof, and now I'm like, fuck this. So
there wasn't enough comedy for, like, there were like two or three really good funny scenes, but most of it was just like, is this funny? Or is this just like a mediocre crime movie?
I was scared that all the funny was in the trailer. Like, I remember watching it, because the first trailer I saw for it was serious.
Right.
And then the second trailer was like, look at these three funny things that happened. I was like, oh shit, okay. And I just never got off the couch to go see it. Maybe I'll catch it on Netflix. This has been another spoiler movie review for American Hustle. Make sure you guys go and catch this at a matinee or something like that, maybe a dollar movie even. Low expectations. I think you'll actually enjoy it. You'll probably enjoy it more than I did if you walk in with the proper expectations. If you're listening to this after you saw it, sorry, man. I know they let you down a little bit, but don't give up, man. These guys are good actors, and they'll put out something better soon. Check out JL Covan. You have JL's Movie Life on YouTube, so you can get some reviews there. You also listen to the Righteous Prick podcast. I'm sure the Oscars award edition is coming up soon.
Hey, man, you know, I'm disappointed that Elizabeth Olsen isn't getting any love.
But she was a revelation. So maybe you guys check that out and follow JL on Twitter at JL Covan and go to his website, jlcovan.com. Until the next movie review, guys, we'll be back here at Spoiler Movie Reviews on the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. Peace out.
Get your act together. My life's a movie. I'll leave you in that act forever.
My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie.